And welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week should bring more laughter with Charlie McCarthy and his guardian, ventriloquist Edgar Bergen. For the second show today, I found a rare example of Marilyn Monroe on radio with Charlie McCarthy. But first, we present an earlier show, the last Charlie McCarthy show sponsored by Chase and Sanborn. An actor plays the late W.C. Fields in the script depicting the famous feud between Charlie McCarthy and Bill Fields. During the show, they refer to being back in the fall because Edgar Bergen was planning a 9-month hiatus and then returned to radio with a new sponsor. He ended up having many different sponsors in the next few years. Enjoy this episode of The Charlie McCarthy Show with Edgar Bergen, the last one sponsored by Chase and Sanborn, first broadcast December 26, 1948, on NBC.
This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you from Hollywood, California. On behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sterr, Don Amici, and Marcia Hart, and the Bickersons by Phil Rapp, Ray Nolan's orchestra, and Pat Patrick as Ursel Twing. All your ideas about coffee will change instantly. Yes, the very first time you try the new Chase and Sanborn instant coffee product, you know you've made a real find. You want rich, heartwarming coffee flavor. And with instant Chase and Sanborn, you get it. And you get it without fuss or muss, waste or waiting. You get complete coffee enjoyment, free from the bother of having a pot to wash, grounds to get rid of, leftover coffee to throw away. It couldn't be neater, and instant Chase and Sanborn couldn't be thriftier. About a penny a cup, that's all it costs. Tomorrow, why don't you discover the joys of instant Chase and Sanborn? Your grocer has it. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening marks Edgar Bergen's final broadcast for Chase and Sanborn. It's been a long association and a happy one, so tonight we trace a few of the highlights in Edgar Bergen's career. In December of 1936, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy were appearing at New York's famous Rainbow Room. They were just finishing their act.
And now, Charlie, about this romance of yours with Bessie. You fell in love with her, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
And you were married, weren't you?
No, not married.
Oh, I see. Well, you were as good as married.
No, I was better than married.
Better than married. Well, how did you meet her?
Well, she sat in front of me in history class.
I see. Did you learn much about history?
Well, not as much as I learned about Bessie.
Yeah,
well, now if you'll excuse me, Bergen, I gotta run along. I've been invited to have a scotch and soda with a chap.
A scotch and soda?
Yes.
Why, don't you know, Charlie, that alcohol for a growing boy is nothing more than slow poison?
Is that so?
Yes.
Slow poison.
That's what it is.
Well, I'm in no hurry.
Thank you very much, thank you.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Bergen. I'm Tony Stanford, producer of the Rudy Valley Show, and this is Mr. Reber.
Yes, how do you do, Mr. Reber?
How do you do?
You know, everybody's talking about the big hit you made last night at the Elsa Maxwell party for Noel Coward. We came up here tonight to talk to you. How would you like to go on the radio? Have you ever thought about it?
Oh, yes, indeed. I've been turned down by experts.
Well, wouldn't you like to go on the air, Mr. Bergen?
Oh, yes, Mr. Reber. All I ask is the opportunity. I'd do anything. I'd almost work for nothing.
I believe that can be arranged.
Well, we'd like you to start next Thursday on the Rudy Valley Show for 3 weeks.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Now, about the salary, what would you say to $175 a week?
Well, I would say no. What would you say to $225 a week?
I would say no. Let's compromise and make it $200 a week for 3 weeks.
Well, now, let's see. $200 a week for 3 weeks comes to...
About $525.
And Bergen, being the shrewd businessman that he is, said...
I'll take it.
And so it was that Edgar Bergen was signed to make his first radio appearance. And on the evening of December 17th, 1936, we heard...
My son is your son. everybody. This is Rudy Valley. People have been asking me why I put a ventriloquist on the air. The answer is, why not? Mr. Bergen works with a dummy, and take my word for it, both voices you will hear are owned and operated by one man, Edgar Bergen.
Mr. Bergen, would you forgive me for a mistake, a little mistake?
But, Charlie, you haven't done anything wrong, have you?
No. But suppose I should say, borrowed your car, let's say, and scratched the fender, let's say, yes.
But you didn't, did you?
No, I'm just let's say.
Yes. Well, that's all right, because my car is in the garage.
Yes, it was. Let's say it is.
Yes.
Well, I did take a little spin, Bergen. I did take a little spin in your old car.
In my old car?
Yes.
What do you mean, old car? It's only 2 months old. Why, you can't tell it from a new one.
Well, you can now.
Yes.
Hardly looks like a car at all.
Why, yesterday I could have sold that as a new car.
Well, today you can sell it as an accordion.
Well, what happened to my car? Did you scratch the paint on the fender?
I regret to inform you there are no fenders.
Then you crashed into somebody.
I didn't miss them.
Where is the car now?
Well, I got the horn in my pocket.
Oh. Well, tell me, was the car badly damaged?
Well, it's sort of... Well, Bergen, why split hairs? Junk is junk.
Well, I'd like to see this car for myself. Now, just where is it?
Well, it's on Main Street.
Well, where on Main Street?
Well, between 5th and 8th.
5th and 8th. Well, is it near 5th or is it near 8th?
It's all the way between 5th and 8th.
Among the many listeners to the program that day was a Mr. Chase and a Mr. Sanborn. And when the program was over, Mr. Sanborn turned to Mr. Chase and said,
Caleb, I like those boys. They're a nice blend. They're worthy of being on our coffee program.
Well, I like them too, Mr. Sanborn, but I understand that Bergen and McCarthy are asking $300 a week.
Oh, they are. Well, let's just hire the little fellow, McCarthy. He's the funny one.
And soon after, Charlie and Edgar were off to California to become a part of the Chase and Sanborn radio show. It was this program that was to lead all others in the largest listening audience of all radio history. One of the contributing factors to its great success was the memorable feud that took place between Charlie McCarthy and W. Fields.
Wow, wow, Charles McCarthy, my termite squap house.
Well, W.C. Fields, my bosom companion.
You know, Charles, in spite of the things you say, I love you. I love you because you never change. Mm-hmm. You're always the same.
Well, thank you.
A little rat.
Please now, fellas, please.
Why, if I were you, Edgar, I'd nail the kid to the floor.
Mr. Fields, must we have these arguments? Why can't you and Charlie be friends?
Well, Edgar, I came here today bearing an olive branch.
Yeah, well, where are the olives?
Thereby hangs a cocktail.
Mr. Fields, is that your nose or are you eating a tomato?
Have a care, young man, or I'll take my olive branch and beat your brains out.
You'll do what?
I've got a good mind to slice you into a Venetian blind.
The thought of it makes me shudder.
Why, you squirrel's warehouse?
Why, you wizard of snaz?
Why, you...
Clippy as a help me out. Mow you down.
All right, get out of here now. It reminds me of the Rainbow Room, New York. You used to play it quite often.
That's right, old boy, yes.
You wrote it, too, didn't you, Ray?
Yeah.
You know, you must be terribly talented.
Well, my dear old boy, it isn't anything that any other genius couldn't do.
No, I don't suppose so. I wonder, would it be too much to ask you to play it now?
Well, I don't see why not, old boy. After all, we spent the last 4 days making special arrangements of it.
Well, good. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Noble plays his own composition, The Touch of Your Lips.
A great tragedy took place. The famous team of Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen were split up. Charlie leaves Bergen's knee and board and joins up with another ventriloquist, the great Frederick. It was this incident that led to the discovery of a bright new star, Mortimer Snurr.
Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Mortimer.
Yeah?
I guess you've heard that Charlie and I have said goodbye.
You said what?
Goodbye.
Oh, okay, goodbye.
No, Charlie. You see, Charlie has quit me to go to work for another ventriloquist, the great Frederick.
Oh.
So, you see, you're all I have left.
That ain't much, is it?
But I have a feeling that you and I will stick together for good. How do you feel?
Oh, the feeling is mucilage.
You know, Mortimer, you know the old saying.
Yeah. Pretty good.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Well.
You know who said that?
Well, I ain't sure, but I think you did. Yeah.
Well, what I'm leading up to, Mortimer, is that do you think you can fill Charlie's shoes?
Well, what do you want me to fill them with?
Oh, no. Opportunity is knocking.
No.
You want to go somewhere, don't you?
I like it here.
You like it here, yes. Well, I want you to replace Charlie, and if you're going to take his place, well, you'll have to be smart and sophisticated.
No, well, that's no use. I ain't getting ready.
What's the matter?
No.
What?
You can't make a silk ear out of a sow's purse.
What was that?
No, I mean you can't make a silk purse in a pig's eye.
No. Well, I'm confident that you can replace Charlie if you try hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're right, Mr. Bergen. I may seem dumb, but when I set my mind to doing something...
Yes?
It just sets there.
Yeah, it just sets there. Excuse me, Mortimer. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, this is Edgar Bergen.
Well, this is Charlie.
Well, Charlie who?
Now, don't give me that Charlie who stuff. This is Charlie McCarthy, that's who.
Oh, yes, of course, Charlie. Well, I hope you're happy with your new ventriloquist. How is the great Frederick?
Oh, you mean Fred. He ain't so hot, brother.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Charlie. And where are you calling from?
Well, you know where Main Street is? Right near Hickory?
Yes.
Well, you know the corner where the hot shop is?
Oh, are you near the pawn shop?
Near it, I'm in it. Fred hocked me for $7.
In the pawn shop. You don't mean it. Well, I'll be right down to get you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bergen, and bring the ransom money with you.
About the time Edgar Bergen first introduced Mortimer Snurd to the radio audience, two ingenious men were on the verge of a great discovery. In a shiny new laboratory surrounded by research scientists and technicians, these two men conducted their experiment.
Water.
Water?
Match.
Match.
Boiling.
Boiling.
Cup.
Cup.
And now for the priceless ingredient. One teaspoonful.
Here you are, Mr. Chase.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Now taste it.
Thank you. Ah, delicious. Try some.
Thanks. Ah, delicious. How long did it take to make it?
Just about 27 seconds.
Eureka, we have found it. And we shall call it... Instant Chase and Sanborn. Let's have another cup.
Very well. Water.
Water.
Match.
Match.
Boiling.
Since that time, millions of coffee lovers have agreed. that Instant Chase and Sanborn is delicious. And when you sip the last delicious swallow, there's no cleanup bother. With Instant Chase and Sanborn, there's no pot to wash, no grounds to get rid of, no leftover coffee to throw away. It's economical, too, only about a penny a cup. And as for convenience, oh, nothing could be simpler than just putting a little Instant Chase and Sanborn in a cup and stirring it up with hot water. For early morning prowlers who want their coffee quick, for mid-meal snacks, or when guests drop in, stock up with Instant Chase and Sanborn. It's an instant success. And as the Chase and Sanborn instant coffee grew in popularity, so did Charlie and Edgar. They continued on their merry way, spreading laughter and happiness, until one day there came an intruder. An intruder with a disagreeable personality. I can still hear that irritating voice when he first entered and said...
Simmer down. Give me one last chance to talk. I am Ursula Swain.
How do you do?
I do as I please. Yeah. How do you do? And I've been waiting for this opportunity to speak to you.
Yes, well, I'm busy.
So am I. Mm. I've been studying to be a radio writer.
Oh,
yeah. And I specialize in witticism, quiddity,
yeah.
And comicality.
Yeah.
And
very interesting.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Is your humor... Is your humor original?
Original?
Yes.
Oh, heavens to Elizabeth. Yes, I'll say it is. And I'll swear to it on a stack of joke books, too, so there.
I was afraid of that. Well, how much do you charge for your jokes?
Well, now, let's see. It depends on how funny it is.
Right.
For a quarter, I can give you a titter. And I also have snickers and giggles and side splitters.
Good.
And
good.
If you'll pardon the expression, belly laugh.
Well, I'd like to hear one of your pardon the expression jokes.
How would you like to hear one of my pardon the expression jokes?
Yes.
I'm a corset fitter, and I take measurements for ladies' girdles.
Uh-huh, you take measurements for lady girdles.
That's right.
Do you ever make a mistake?
Well, once in a while, I pull a bloomer.
No. Sorry, but my sides didn't split on that joke.
Well, that's because you're just an old pickle puss.
He's
just...
Why don't you try and sell that joke to Jack Benny or Fred Allen?
I can't do that.
Why?
Well, that's where I got it.
Oh, I see.
I joke season chuckles. Ha-ha, tee-ho-ha.
October of this year, Edgar Bergen departed from the usual guest star policy by presenting an unusual domestic sketch starring Don Ameche and Marcia Hunt as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. Two o'clock in the morning finds the
Bickerson automobiles straining under the additional weight of a house trailer moving in the general direction of Yellowstone National Park. This is John Bickerson's first vacation in 7 years, and his wife Blanche is determined to see that he gets a good rest. They've been driving steadily for 9 hours. Listen.
John. Don't slump like that.
I'm not slumping.
You are, too. Your eyes are almost closed, and your head keeps lolling on my shoulder.
Well, I'm sleepy, Blanche. I can't drive anymore.
You're not driving. I am.
Oh.
I knew you'd make me do the driving. I'll bet you'll sleep all the way while I just sit here and gnash my teeth. That's one bet I can win. You're not listening.
I'm listening.
What did I say?
You want a new Nash with twin beds. Good night.
Wish we'd never started on this trip.
Shh.
I won't shush. You've got no right to treat me like a truck driver. You haven't been 1 minute's help to me. I don't know where I'm going, and I can't understand these dials on the dashboard. I'm telling you now, John, if you fall asleep once more, I'll run out of gas.
You say it, but you won't do it.
That settles it. I'm not going to drive another step.
Well, pull over to the side. You can't stop in the middle of the highway. You're blocking traffic.
Oh, all right. Won't start.
Let me see that gas gauge. Empty. Why didn't you tell me we were running low?
I told you I didn't know anything about it.
Well, there's no use sitting here. There's only one way to get this outfit over to the side of the road, and that's by pushing it. Now, don't touch a thing until I tell you. Okay, Blanche.
I can't even budge it, John. You come out and push.
Wait a minute. Let me try this stuff. Why, you didn't even have the ignition key on. There, that's it.
Turn off the headlights, John, and come back here in the trailer. Watch your steps.
I'm sleepy. I don't want to open my eyes.
Go on. Get in. Now take your clothes off.
Where's the bed?
Just pull down the ironing board and hook it to the bread box.
I can't sleep on an ironing board. What kind of a trailer is this?
You don't have to sleep on the ironing board. That just makes the slats. Now, you just fold the stove underneath and slide the seat pads on top. There. Isn't that clever?
Wonderful. Good night.
The other bed hooks on the other side. You see how simple it is?
I hate it.
Oh, you're never satisfied with anything. This trailer's a darn sight better than our apartment, if you ask me. It's got every modern convenience. Well, there's more closet space than we have. There's a lovely metal sink, and the bathroom is out of this world.
That's what I was afraid of. Blow out the candle, Blanche.
It's not a candle. It's an electric bulb shaped like a candle.
Well, turn it off and go to sleep. Never been so tired in all my life.
Well, if it won't trouble you too much, I'd like to get my clothes off. Would you mind unzipping my back?
Back up.
Thanks.
Here's the zipper.
John Bickerson.
Oh, I couldn't help it. The darn thing came off in my hand. Why don't they sew it on tight?
I'm going to take it back to Madame Selma's and get a refund. Then I'm going out to buy some real clothes.
Oh, you got plenty of clothes.
I have not.
You have, too. You spend a fortune on clothes.
How can you say that? All I own is this dress and that red dinner gown, and I got that gown for a ridiculous figure.
Well, you were fatter then.
I've got his rags, and you scream your head off if I buy one dress a year. In another 2 months, I'll have absolutely nothing to wear around the house. Then what'll I do?
Pull down the shades.
I wish I was home.
So do I. Good night.
I bet there isn't another woman alive who has to humiliate herself the way I do to get a kind word from her husband. Why did you marry me if you can't stand the sight of me?
I can stand the sight of you.
But you don't love me.
Yes, I do.
You don't.
I tell you I do.
Then why don't you say it?
I'm going to tell you for the last time, Blanche. No man ever felt about a woman the way I feel about you.
Honest? Do you really despise me?
You know I do.
What?
I mean...
Then why don't you let me talk to you?
I told you, Blanche, I don't feel like talking. Now, please, don't start that all over again, Blanche.
Well, I can't help feeling... What was that?
What was what?
Outside the trailer. I thought I heard somebody prowling around. Get up and look, John.
Oh, there's nobody there.
You left the keys in the car. Why don't you get up and look?
There's nothing to look for.
That proves you don't love me. You once told me you'd face death for me, didn't you?
Yes.
Then why don't you go and see who it is?
How do I know he's dead?
John, If anybody breaks in here, will you save me?
Yes, I'll save you.
Why?
Oh. What's the matter with you, Blanche? Why don't you just calm down and go to sleep?
I can't sleep. I'm worried.
I tell you, there's nobody outside.
It's not that. I've got something to tell you.
Well, tell me.
If you give me a kiss, I'll tell you.
Well, tell me now, and I'll kiss you later.
You might not feel like kissing me later.
I don't feel like kissing you now. Not after the way you upset me. What have you done?
You remember when we stopped for gas in Las Vegas?
I remember.
Well, I went into the washroom to powder my nose, and they had a slot machine built into the mirror.
You went for it, huh? How many nickels did you lose?
It was the dollar machine.
Blanche, you didn't lose a dollar.
I lost $47.
$47? You squandered my life savings on a one-armed bandit.
I was only trying to make enough money.
How can you throw away my money like that? I work like a slave to hold on to a few pennies. I deny myself everything. I've been sewing collars on your old bloomers and wearing them for turtleneck quilts. Yesterday, I took a bite out of my leg to save on lunch. He gambled away $47, Blanche. I take an old...
John! Quick! There's somebody unhitching the car.
Don't try to change the subject. We're going to have a showdown.
John! Look out the window!
What are you talking about? Where? What happened to our car, Blanche? It's gone!
I told you there was a prowler. You wouldn't listen.
Oh, how do we get the police? That crook made off with my car!
Well, you don't have to get hysterical, John. He can't get away with it.
Why not?
Because I copied down his license number.
Good night, Blanche.
Good night, John.
It was a thrilling year for coffee lovers. So many of you discovered the joys of the new Chase and Sanborn instant coffee product. With instant Chase and Sanborn, so many of you finally found the flavor you'd been waiting for in coffee made instantly right in the cup. With instant Chase and Sanborn, thousands have found they can sleep later mornings and not have to waste time waiting for coffee to cook. Just add hot water, stir, and there's your rich, fragrant, full-bodied coffee. The cost is only about a cent a cup. Start tomorrow to enjoy this neat treat at your house. Instant Chase and Sanborn. You'll love it. So, we arrive at the present. 3 weeks ago, while Mr. Bergen was vacationing at Palm Springs, a reporter called for an interview.
Mr. Bergen, is it true that you're going to retire from radio?
No. It's only a short leave of absence. This is the first time in 11 years that I'm free to take time out to experiment and perhaps bring something new to my radio program in the fall.
So you've decided it's wiser to take time out while your program is one of the leading shows.
Yes, that's right. My ambition and my joy is to continue to do the best shows that I can, for which I've always been generously rewarded. And I'm happy to say that in my 11 years with Chase and Sanborn, there has never been a word of disagreement or criticism, even when criticism was in order.
Gentlemen, I'd like to read a telegram which just arrived. It's addressed to Mr. Edgar Bergen from Standard Brands, Incorporated, makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. For nearly 12 years, for almost the lifetime of Coast to Coast Radio, we've been on the air together. Ever since May 1937, when you began your journeys into millions upon millions of American homes, wherever you came into the living room, our Chase and Sanborn coffees came into the kitchen. For that, we owe you and give you our special gratitude. But along with the rest of America, we owe you a far deeper gratitude that is almost inexpressible for making us remember week in and week out that life is for living and living is fun. For creating in Charlie McCarthy a legendary figure second only to Santa Claus in the hearts of children of all ages all over the world. In your mission of legend and laughter, it's been our great good fortune to play what might be called a supporting part. At this moment when we ask ourselves, how can we say goodbye for now? Only Mortimer has the words for it. Bergen, it ain't easy.
Thank you. That makes me very happy, and I'd like to take this opportunity to say to my listeners everywhere, a very happy and prosperous New Year, and we'll all be back together in the fall.
That goes for me, too. Goodbye, everyone.
It's been fine and dandy, Mr. Bergen, to be with you. Just as long as we are by your side, troubles seem to have a funny side. When you're gone, Mr. Bergen, we'll be lonesome and very blue. When you're handy, we're fine and dandy, but when you leave, what will we do?
So long, Bergen, we must leave you, though we do not want to go. So long, Charlie, we shall miss you on the Sunday radio. Hark, the landlord is calling. He wants the rent, you see. So till you find another sponsor, goodbye, Mr. B. And we ain't kidding. So long, Mr. B. We really love you. So long, till next time, Mr. B.
By Paul Freese, W.C. Fields by Bill Thompson. The part of Tony Stanford was played by Tony Stanford. This is Ken Carpenter saying goodnight on behalf of all of us from Hollywood.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast every week throughout the World Wide Web. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or click on the link on the blog oldtimeradiohour.weebly.com. Next, we have a real treat that I am presenting in spite of its imperfect sound quality. Marilyn Monroe rarely appeared on radio, and I think you will enjoy this example of her star quality as Charlie McCarthy plans to elope with her. This is the Charlie McCarthy Show, with Edgar Bergen guest starring Marilyn Monroe, first broadcast November 9th, 1952, on CBS.
Richard Hurtnet, the Fifth Avenue.
Richard Hurtnet of Fifth Avenue brings you the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy. It's Sunday night and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sterd, and Ray Noble and his orchestra. Brought to you, transcribed by Richard Hutnett, makers of scientific hair preparation. Tonight our guest is Marilyn Monroe. Give your hair a beauty finish after your next shampoo. Here's how.
Rinse, lady, rinse. Treat your hair to Richard Hutnett Cream Rinse. After each shampoo, each home permanent too. It gives your hair a beauty finish. Beauty finish. Beauty finish. Rinse, lady, rinse. With Richard Hutnett Cream.
The magic conditioning rinse discovered by Richard Hutnett. After every shampoo, it makes your hair softer and so manageable. It gives your hair a beauty finish. Insist on the genuine Richard Hutnett Cream Rinse. And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, Edgar, are those rumors I've been hearing true? I mean, is Charles actually going to marry Marilyn Monroe?
That's correct, Ray.
Poor girl. Is she paying off an election bet?
Well, I can't understand it either.
Incredible.
Marilyn, my Marilyn, this is the day that we will wed.
Oh, yes.
Hello, you poor losers, you.
Yes. Darling.
Yes.
So you're going to give up single bliss for a ball and chain.
Yeah. And being chained to Marilyn is really going to be a ball.
Yeah. Charlie, do you think that you're ready for marriage?
Ready? Ready, man?
Yeah.
I kicked a hole in the starting gate.
Oh, I... I say, there, Charles, old chap, I've heard about you and Marilyn Monroe, and, may I tender my gratuitous felicitations upon the advent of your nuptials?
Well, I don't think it... What does that mean?
I wish I were in your shoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, boy, you must have some British blood in you.
Well, make you say that. Eh?
Well, you certainly did Piccadilly. Excuse me, old chap. I just got carried away, you know.
Yeah. Keep it up and you will be.
Yeah.
You know, Ray, this is quite a step that Charlie is taking.
Oh, yes, rather.
And I would like to ask you, Ray, what do you think of marriage?
Well, Edgar, you know, I think it's one thing that every husband and wife should have in common.
Oh.
Of course, Charles, I still can't understand why Marilyn Monroe picked you.
I don't know what she sees in me either. Besides, good looks, charm, talent, and personality, that's about all I got. Well, what do you two have in common? I mean, when you're together, what do you talk about? Who talks? But I tell you one thing, she's not only beautiful, but she's intelligent, too.
Yes,
yes sir.
Yeah, you like her IQ.
I like her whole alphabet.
You like her.
From A to wow.
Yeah, all right. I know, Charlie. Well, you know, it won't be the same around the house without you.
No. Well, don't you worry, Bergen. With me gone, you won't be able to keep the house long enough to notice the difference.
Now, tell me something, Charlie. Will you miss me?
Miss you?
Yes.
Well, on days when I haven't anything else to do, I'll try, yes.
At least you will write to me every week, Bergen. Promise?
Bergen, would I lie to you?
Well, you usually do.
Well, there's your answer.
Yes.
But don't feel so bad, Bergen. You can be best man at the wedding.
Oh, by the way, Charles, will your marriage be an afternoon or an evening affair?
Oh, we expect it to last longer than that. So long, everyone. See you at the wedding. Oh, do not forsake me, oh, my darling. On this I wait.
Here are Ray Noble, the orchestra, and our quartet to bring us The Live Oak Tree.
A book of verses underneath the bough.
A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and thou.
That's a version, version of a kind of excursion I'd enjoy with you right now.
The book of verses never would be read.
And we could do without a loaf of bread.
And it would suit me fine without the jug of wine.
If I got a little love instead.
When I'm with you.
And you're with me.
It's great to be alive beneath the live oak tree. When I'm with you. And you're with me. If you don't do the hokey-dokey, deep-de-okey-dokey-doke.
And this, my dear, is also true. It's great to be alone when I'm alone with you.
We climb a hill to the very top.
That you can hear an acorn drop.
The whole day through, we're on our own, with only Mother Nature for a chaperone. The birds will buy the music and we have a song, and it's all for free.
When I'm with you,
and you're with me,
and we're beneath the live oak.
Underneath the live oak tree.
dear. Well, Mortimer.
Ill.
Have you heard the big news?
Ill. My cat just had kittens. Poor thing, she's awful disappointed, too.
Oh?
She wanted pups.
Oh, she wanted pups. Well, that wasn't the news I was talking about.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, yes. You know, Marilyn Monroe and Charlie are getting married.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Why? Yeah, well, you know, when people get married, they get married because they're in love.
Oh, yeah. Seems like there ought to be an easier way out of that.
Yeah. Well, you know what marriage is.
Yeah, it's, seems to me it's a friendship that gets all messed up, ain't it?
No. I hate to say it, but Charlie and I are saying goodbye.
Saying what?
Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye. Yeah. I'll see you later.
No, not you.
No.
You see, I want you, Mortimer. I want you to fill Charlie's shoes.
Yeah?
Yes.
What do you want me to fill them with?
No.
The wedding joke?
No. I want you to take Charlie's place.
Oh, I see. Oh. You want me to marry Marilyn Monroe?
No, on the show.
Oh, yes.
Just think that you'll be known as the partner of Edgar Bergen. Does the name Edgar Bergen mean something to you?
Oh, yeah. Whatever became of him?
No. What did I say, Ron? Right now, we have to get ready for Charlie's wedding. Now, Mortimer, you're invited.
Well, thank you.
I want you to watch your manners. I want you to put your best foot forward.
You mean the one with the six toes on it?
Yeah, that's right. When people speak to you, you should say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that clear?
Yeah.
You mean yes, sir, don't you?
Yeah.
Can't you say anything but yep?
Oh, yes, sir.
Ah. Now, isn't that better?
Yep.
Yeah, that.
Want to go around again?
No, I don't. Now, another thing, Mortimer. You know, clothes are very important at a wedding.
I'll wear some.
Yeah, I know you will, yeah. How do you think you'll feel in a top hat and white tie?
Kind of chilly.
Yeah. To rent a dress suit for you. Now, let me see. I'll need some measurements.
Yeah.
Yes. What are you around the waist?
Oh, ticklish.
And how about your sleeves? Do you want 34 sleeves?
No, I think two ought to be 20.
What I'm speaking of is the measurements. Where do you want your sleeves to come to?
Well, to me.
To you, yeah. Would you describe yourself, Mortimer, as tall or short?
Well, I'd say I'm tall on one end and short on the other.
Now, about the trouser length.
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah. How long are your legs?
Well, starting from which end?
Well, I don't know. What I want to know is, how long will you want your trousers?
Well, just till the wedding's over.
Yeah, I know. Don't seem to understand, Mortimer. Don't you see, if I have your exact measurements now, you'll get a better fit in the end.
Well, I was hoping it'd fit good all over.
Oh, yeah. Mortimer, we'd better hurry, because I'm sure you'll want some of that wedding cake.
Well, what?
Well, you know, they say if a girl sleeps with a wedding cake under her pillow,
yeah,
that she'll get a husband.
Oh. Well, that ain't what you get.
Oh, it ain't
nosy. You don't get that at all. I tried it.
Oh, you did, yeah? What did you get?
Ants.
Bergen, what was that?
Oh, that's a tom-tom, Charlie.
Oh, a tom-tom?
Yeah. You know Charlie has skin stretched over a drum head.
Oh, don't be sensitive, Bergen. Oh.
Those drums are sending a warning, Charlie, to every woman listening. When you give yourself a home permanent, be beauty-wise and neutralized. If you skip the neutralizing steps, you're running the risk of hidden hair damage. The chemical action of all cold wave permanent should be stopped completely at the right time. That's why Richard Hudnut gives you, first, the neutralizer to safely restore your hair's natural springiness. Then,
the famous neutralizer booster, to lock in your wave so it stays lovely even in damp or rainy weather. Neutralizing takes so little time, makes such a big difference. Remember the warning. And remember Richard Hudnut. No other home permanent method guarantees you longer-lasting, softer, more natural-looking curls in a shorter time. Be beauty-wise. Buy a Richard Hudnut home permanent. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have grown up with Charlie McCarthy, and I'm sure you wouldn't want to miss his wedding. So come with us to the little wedding chapel where the ceremony is about to be held. And now, while we're awaiting the arrival of the bride, let's listen to the choir as they sing. Hasn't arrived, but Edgar and Charlie are in the waiting room. I wonder what they're talking about.
Well, Charlie, in a little while you will be married to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, there comes a time in everyone's life when he must learn about certain things.
Yes. Well, what do you want to know, Bergen?
What I'm trying to tell you, Charlie, is that you must understand that single life is not like married life.
Well, I should hope not.
You've heard, of course, about the birds and the bees.
Yeah, I never could figure out what they had in common. It's like a clumsy sort of a match to me.
Well, you've seen the bee go from flower to flower collecting pollen.
Yeah.
Do you know the result?
Hay fever?
No. Now, Charlie, you're not making this easy for me.
Sweat it out, Bergen. Sweat it out.
Well, let's forget about the birds and the bees. Let's take people.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say, Charlie, is that girls...
Yes, Bergen?
Girls, well, girls aren't boys.
No. Bergen, you've ruined everything.
What do you mean?
Now, Marilyn and I will have to go on separate honeymoons.
Oh, Charlie, all I'm trying to tell you is what I'm trying to explain to you. I don't know what you're trying to...
Charlie!
Oh, Marilyn Monroe!
Oh, here.
You look beautiful.
I'm wearing my wedding dress.
Yeah.
Something borrowed.
Yeah, you didn't borrow enough.
We'll be so happy. Mm-hmm. I can see it now.
Yeah.
You and I by the fireplace and the kettle whistling.
Who can blame us?
Charlie, would you mind if I kept on working?
Well, now, Marilyn, let's get this straight. I wear the pants in this family.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I make around $50,000 a year.
Oh, you do? Well, now, you might look good in slacks.
Yeah, that's better.
Where's Marilyn Monroe? I'm from Look. Look.
Look magazine?
No, I just want to look.
I'm worried, Charlie. The crowd outside. My fans seem to object to this marriage. I don't know why. I'm just a woman.
I know, but you're so good at it. Marilyn, my dear, we were made for each other.
Kiss me, Charlie. Just to make sure.
Yes, gladly, all right. Playing our song. I think they've enlarged the orchestra.
This is it, Charlie.
Roger. Synchronized wedding rings.
All right, Charlie. We go first.
Stop the wedding! Stop the wedding! Charlie, old boy. Charlie, you can't go through with this marriage. Look at that mob outside. They'll tear you limb from limb.
Let me see. Good heavens, they're carrying signs.
Yes, look at that one. It says, take the Washington Monument, but leave us Monroe.
There's another one. Things were looking better and better, but you took our girl and left just a sweater. Oh.
Yes, and Charlie, it's not only here. The whole country's in revolt, old boy.
Yes.
Here, look, I brought my portable radio so you could hear what's happening.
And now, here's Gabriel Heater. Ah, there's bad news tonight. Marilyn Monroe is marrying Charlie McCarthy. Somewhere in an army camp, a soldier is tearing up his calendar. Somewhere in New York, a man is crying. That's me! And now for a brief message from our sponsor.
Don't do it, Marilyn.
Heaven's sake, turn on another station.
I'll try this one.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Arthur Godfrey, sponsored by practically everyone. Marilyn Monroe is marrying Charlie McCarthy. By golly, there'll be no commercials today. Only last night I was looking at a picture of Marilyn Monroe and smoking, and I didn't even have a cigarette. Now she's getting married, oh dear. Well, this is for you, Marilyn. I went to your wedding, although I was dreading the thought of losing you. Your mother was crying, your father was crying.
His strings are getting soggy. Turn him off.
I'll try this station,
yeah,
sir.
Good evening, Mr. Miss North America, and all you broken-hearted sailors at sea. Flash! The Russians are trying to steal the blueprints for Marilyn Monroe. And here's a personal message to Charlie McCarthy. Why, you little pipsqueak, you. I happen to know that your family tree has a knothole in it. And furthermore, Congress is passing a law to prevent Marilyn from marrying anyone until she's 50. This will be known as the new Monroe Doctrine.
There Turn him off, turn him off. It can't
I'll
be
try...
true, can it, Marilyn?
I'll try one more station.
Yes, I will.
Stand by now for a shortwave broadcast. Direct from England, we bring you the Honorable Winston Churchill.
This is America's darkest hour. The entire British Empire extends its sympathy. If Charles McCarthy insists upon going through with his marriage to Marilyn Monroe, I have only one thing to say. Never has anyone so little taken so much from so many.
Shut that thing off.
Charlie, there's only one thing to do. Let's elope.
Elope. Okay, Marilyn. Las Vegas, here we come.
Well, this is the only place open in Vegas now. I guess it'll have to do.
Yeah, look at that sign. All night weddings, $5. Reduce rates if you play our slot machines.
Come on, let's go in.
That must be the justice of the peace. Hello, I want to get married.
Fine, have you got a girl?
I'm going to marry him.
Him? That's the silliest thing I ever heard of.
What do you mean?
Who ever heard of getting hitched to a hitching post?
Look here, loose and quivery.
Well, we'll start the ceremony now. You take her hand.
There.
Okay, you two know the rules.
Rules?
Oh, I'm sorry. I also referee prize fights. How do you, Miss...
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe? Miss Monroe, I happen to be a bachelor of very steady habits. And if you could...
Wait a minute. Do you think you can take this woman to be your wife?
I do.
And you, Marilyn Monroe, take... Holy smokes, I'm getting married.
Get on with it, boy. We'll be late for our honeymoon.
Oh, no.
I came here to marry Charlie.
Well, why take him when you can have this great big bundle of joy all for your own? I may not be young, but I'm still cooking with gas.
Certainly got the pot for you.
Got the pot for
Mister, nothing
I got... Oh, I wish I was dead.
Mister, nothing can make me change my mind. So will you please go on with the ceremony?
All right. Young man, let me see your license, birth certificate, physical test.
Yeah, here they are. All the stuff is right.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, ha. That's the nastiest I ever heard.
Young man, I can't marry you. In fact, no one can marry you. Look at the result of your physical test.
What does it say?
No blood.
No blood?
No, just sap.
Oh, Charlie!
Edgar Bergen will be back in a moment.
Shine.
Your hair can really shine if you know the secret. And the secret's in every bottle of Richard Hudnut Enriched Cream Shampoo. You can see the shine right in the bottle. And after one shampoo, you'll see the shine in your hair.
Shine up your hair.
The difference in Richard Hudnut and Rich Cream Shampoo is this. It's made with real egg formula. You know that egg is a natural beautifier for your hair, and scientists agree about that. Richard Hudnut Shampoo with real egg formula makes even dull, dry hair shining clean, shining bright and beautiful. Get the shampoo with shine in it. Richard Hudnut Enriched Cream Shampoo.
Wait a minute, Mr. Baldwin. Here I am again. I brought you a new batch of eggs for that Hudnut shampoo.
Well, that's wonderful, Mortimer. Yeah. But look, one of these eggs is so much larger than the others. Why is that?
Well, one of my hens is an awful show-off.
Oh, Mortimer. Now, here's Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank Marilyn Monroe for helping us to have so much fun tonight. Until next Sunday, then, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen Samuel Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble, brought to you by Richard Hudnut of Fifth Avenue, every Sunday over the CBS radio network at the same time. The voices of Gabriel Heater, Arthur Godfrey, Walter Winchell, and Winston Churchill were played by Dave Barry. Marilyn Monroe appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Daryl F. Zanuck Technicolor production, The Snows of Kilimanjaro. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. This is Bill Baldwin speaking.
Stay tuned now for the Playhouse on Broadway, which follows immediately on most of these same stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we hope to keep you laughing with more classic radio comedy. I hope you will join us. Until then, I'm your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.